We are thankful, Lord. We praise you. We open your word and we recognize that you will speak from it even today. We know that we don't each have an interpretation of it, Lord. There is one meaning that the author of Scripture meant, but we understand that you are broadband, although we might be dial-up, Lord. We trust you for the breadth of what you have done and that this word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it divides between fine, fine lines, between just bone and marrow. We also recognize that, Lord, it opens up to us as Holy Spirit, you guide us to understand this. And we do expect that for each person in this room, there is a specific application of the truth that's in your word as we look to it now. So will you guide us, God, with Bible in hand and with your scripture in our heart as we read or as we listen? Guide us, please, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're in Luke chapter 7 this morning. Matthew, Mark, Luke, the third book of the New Testament, so that back quarter of your Bible. Luke chapter 7. So we've been in here for a while, actually. And so it's after the Sermon on the Mount, and we've heard Jesus talking to all manner of people already. And it's the teaching of God. It's what he wants us to know. If you find yourself with a pew Bible and you're still searching for it, it's on page 1040, is it? Yeah, 1040 in the English Standard Version that we have in the pews. So last week we talked about what Jesus did in Capernaum after the Sermon on the Mount. Do you remember that? The humble, honest centurion? Do you remember that part? And how he was confident of the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ? And this confidence is described by Jesus as faith. So that was chapter 7, verses about 1 to 10, the centurion. So that story was last week. You can look at it online. You could get it on iTunes, actually, if you cared. But it's out there. But if we look at verse 11 of chapter 7, it says this: soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain. So if you were to look at a map, the distance between where Jesus was and where he is, it's not like a terrible far distance that he went. But if at the top of the Sea of Galilee is the town of Capernaum, he went down past Nazareth to a town that's sort of out of the way, far away place, and it's not anywhere special. It's not that you would have said, hey, let's go to Nain. You know, there it is up on the map. So at the top of the Sea of Galilee, Capernaum, and the red line shows you he traveled down there to Nain. It was once said to someone, we found the Messiah. He's from Nazareth. And the guy's response to it was, Nazareth? What good comes from Nazareth? So Nain is the place past Nazareth. It's out there in the boonies. It's not Jerusalem. It's not anywhere. So Jesus, he goes from the town where a lot of stuff is happening, Capernaum. It's almost like a hometown, right? Galilee. People know Jesus there. He shows up. The centurion hears about him, sends someone. And now Jesus went to an out-of-the-way place. And here we are. We're in Alpha, right? When I drive, it tells me Tillicoultry's coming. It tells me St. Andrews is right ahead, keep going. It doesn't tell me about Alva till I get to Alva. Right? And when I'm in Tilly, they tell you, don't worry, Sterling lies ahead. But we like this place. Here you guys are, right? Here's a place where we've gathered together. There is no small place on the face of the earth. And God is here, just like he's there in Nain in this story. And it matters to the people who are gathered here. So check it out. Soon afterward, he went to the town called Nain. And his disciples and a great crowd went with him. Why? Because he's Jesus. And they want to see more. As he drew near to the gate of the town, do you know what the gate of the town means? The gate of the town doesn't necessarily mean that it's a walled city and that you have to go through a gate to get there. What it means is town hall, city center, where the elders would gather around and talk to each other, where business deals would be notarized, where your grievance would be brought before the court. That's what that means. So as he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out. Do you know the name of this man? Nobody does. They refer to him as the widow of Nain's son. That might be what it says in your Bible, the widow of Nain. This man's dead, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. Can I draw a picture for you of two parades intersecting? Jesus and his followers, and death, and all who mourn the loss of. Boom, collision. God set this up. Maybe you're here today and you're facing hopeless circumstance. The widow of Nain, no family, no support, alone in the world. Death and mourning were her lot that day. And when the Lord saw her, in verse 13, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said to her, do not weep. Now that's not Jesus going, come on, cheer up. The scripture says you don't sing happy songs to a sad heart. Solomon was wise when he wrote that in Proverbs. Jesus didn't show up to the woman and said, oh, you poor, poor, sad lady, my mission in the world is to make people happy. That is not it. But it's a consequence of what he's about to do, I promise you. Do not weep. Now, do you remember the words of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount when he said, blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted? Because here he is living in his life, the thing that he teaches. And he's come to a mourning woman and he said, do not weep. And then he came up and he touched the bier. Do you know the word bier is actually like the funeral pyre that people would carry along on shoulders? It's like we would say in our modern world, coffin. Except it was open and it was a body wrapped in a sheet being carried along. He put his hand on the bier and the bearer stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak. Now they tell you this is the story of the widow of Nain. But there was a dead man who Jesus spoke to directly and he rose from the dead alive. Can God do that? Was there only a special time? Or is it only that Jesus can do that? Jesus did that. But I tell you, in the scripture that you read, Jesus is not the only one who did that. People walking with God and obedient to God, stepping out for God, do these things that God does. And Jesus did that that day. Result. And like Jesus, we are to have compassion. Passion together with others. Do you enter into the way that people suffer? Do you come alongside someone without necessarily trying to fix it and come where people are? Jesus does that, and Jesus does more. I would say to us here today in Alva, like Jesus standing in Nain, we need to stand against the power of death. We need to speak life, Church of God.